funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What is most important to you and your family during the holidays? While great meals and gifts play into many of our winter celebrations, some people worry that American-style consumption at Christmas is an unsustainable tradition. So every year we like to devote an hour of Think to a discussion of alternatives to consumer-centric holiday giving. We hope that you'll share your own ideas throughout the program by calling 1-800-933-5372. And my guest this hour has some interesting ideas for filling hearts without filling landfills. Anna Getty's new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. Anna, welcome to Think.
Hi, thank you, Chris.
You start the list with the 10 easiest things that we can do to save energy during the holidays, and one of those is as simple as carefully planning our shopping trips. Will you talk about that?
Yes. Well, you know, generally around the holidays, we're in the car rushing around all over the place, and, you know, we'll buy, you know, one thing at one shopping center, another thing at another shopping center, and then the grocery store, and then, you know, we're just, like, running around with our heads cut off like chickens, you know. So it's a great time to kind of just sit down, plan your shopping trips. You know, if you can, carpool with your friends or family. You know, buy locally. Shopping in your hometown supports your local merchants, of course. And, you know, if you're going to the grocery store and you need to go to the shopping mall, that's it, you know, as well, try to get it done in the same day, you know, rather than, you know, one day going to the grocery store and then the next day going to the shopping center. So just, you know, plan ahead, and it reduces your fuel consumption and your carbon output.
I also wondered about the resources used for online shopping as opposed to bricks and mortar. And you sort of looked into this. Is one option really greener than the other?
Well, it depends. It depends if you live out in, you know, the middle of the country and you don't have a lot of, you know, sweet local little boutiques available to you, and, you know, you have to drive 45 miles to the closest shopping center. It depends. If you decide, okay, this year I want to go green with my shopping, and you decide to check out all the online green websites like, you know, Green Feet, for example, or reusablebags.com. There's a lot of great green websites that are offering green products, and they're mailing to you in the most sustainable way. A lot of them have, you know, carbon offset programs. So, you know, it depends. You know, do you want to go to the shopping center and buy, you know, all products that have been shipped from overseas, or do you want to buy, you know, things online that have been made within the country and are being shipped in a more sustainable fashion? I would say, you know, do the latter. That's your greener option.
And a great idea you had that I hadn't thought about was that if you're going to have things shipped to you, get them at work where FedEx and UPS are probably stopping anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 7 on your list caught my attention. A lot of green thinking people might not think that man-made fuel in the fireplace is a good idea, but you discovered something called Java logs. What are those?
Java logs were discovered by this guy. I mean, he created them when he, you know, threw some coffee grounds into his fire and learned that they could sustain, you know, flames for a while and fuel the flame. So Java logs are made, you know, they're 100% natural, and their ashes are compostable, which is great. And, you know, listen, if you live out in the countryside and you have, you know, trees that have fallen, you know, by all means, you know, use them up and, you know, use your firewood. But it is creating, you know, carbon, and it's going out into our atmosphere. So if you have options, if you're going to be buying, you know, a Duraflame versus a Java log, I'd say pick up a Java log.
And I want to talk next about the great Christmas tree debate, because you have people who care about the environment on both sides of this. Some people say it's better to use the same fake tree for year after year. Others say better to buy a real one that is sustainably farmed.
Yes. If you've purchased a fake tree, you know, 10 years ago, you know, don't throw it away. If you're still using it, by all means, use it. If you're going out to buy a fake tree versus a real tree now, your better bet is, you know, going to localharvest.org, seeing if you can find a locally grown tree that's been cut, possibly organic, and then you want to make sure that you dispose of it properly, not sticking it into a plastic bag. in turn, you know, have it mulched, you know, rent a mulcher with your community, you know, with 10 neighbors, and just take a day mulching the trees and creating beautiful compost. Or make sure that you know, are calling up your, you know, go to earth911.org, and you can find out where the tree can be properly disposed of. Fake trees, unless they're vintage from a flea market or you've had them for a long time, they're all now being made overseas in Asia. They're made from polyvinyl chloride, incredibly toxic to manufacture, and they're not recyclable. Most of the trees are lasting about 2 to 3 years. You know, they're making them so you continue buying them.
Wow.
They don't have a long life to them.
Mm-hmm. We love our Christmas lights in this part of the country. But I was amazed to read how much people's energy bills really go up every year at the holidays. LED lights, what kind of difference do they make?
LED lights are so wonderful. They save 90% energy. They also last so much longer than regular incandescent light bulbs. They're not hot, so they can't burn anyone. If one blows out, you don't have to, you know, go through the whole row trying to figure out which one. And the great thing nowadays, even if you want to decorate outside with lights, they now make solar LED lights. So, you know, the most important thing is that you have direct sunlight for 8 hours for these lights. But you just make that initial investment of the lights, and then you don't have to pay for electricity at all.
So basically they charge up all day and shine all night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you like your outdoor lights, put them on a timer, you know, save energy by not keeping them running all night long.
Anna Getty is my guest. Her new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. If you want to share some ideas or ask a question, join us now at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. A lot of people really love lighting candles at the holidays, but a lot of them tend to be petroleum-based.
Yes. There is no restriction, really, in Asia on what you can put in candles. So you really don't know what kind of chemicals are going in. A lot of them have lead in them.
In the wicks, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the wicks. And, you know, the petroleum, the paraffin is petroleum-based, and, you know, they're burning black. They're making your curtains black. So you can only guess what's happening with your lungs. You can go out and get wonderful soy candles now, beeswax, palm wax. There's a lot of other great options that are a lot less toxic.
And the soy candles don't even burn as hot, so if you happen to spill one when it's liquid, chances are you're not going to be horribly scalded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they come in great scents. A lot of those candles, like the holiday smelling ones, just filled with chemicals. And the soy ones and the beeswax, they usually use essential oils, so, you know, clove and cinnamon. And especially if you have allergies or you have children with allergies, you want to stay away from the fragrance-laden candles.
You mentioned children. Most people who have kids are also stocking up on batteries this time of year. And a lot of people now have switched to rechargeable batteries, but even those eventually die. What do we do with them when they don't work anymore?
Well, you know, so many office buildings have programs where you can, you know, drop off your batteries, and then they, you know, dispose of them properly for you. You can also go online, I believe, earth911.org. You can find out where to dispose of your batteries properly.
Do you have any free no object gifts, meaning things that you can give people that don't last after the holiday's over? You have some things about, you know, giving a membership somewhere or...
Right. I think gift certificates are great. You know, gift certificates for cooking classes. Even if you're, you know, if you're an older sibling and you can give your parent a gift certificate of, you know, 3 babysitting sessions while you, mom and dad, have date night, you don't necessarily have to go out and purchase, you know, a cooking class or a massage. You can... You know, 1 year when we were kind of tight in our pocketbook, I gave a certificate to my husband for 3 1-hour foot massages. And I gave that to him, and he cried. It was so sweet.
Did he cry because he thought, I'm never going to be able to cash these in?
No, he just thought it was really touching, you know, and I made it look like a certificate from a store, you know, from a spa.
No, it is wonderful, and it's funny because we forget that very often people can buy what it is they want, and doing something like that really does have more meaning to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go first to Frisco and speak with Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi, Nancy.
I have a problem. I just moved out. I live on my own. I'm allergic to Christmas trees. And I don't have a Christmas tree, artificial or otherwise. So you're saying that the ones out there and available right now aren't a good thing to buy. What do you suggest?
Well, if I had an allergy to, is it pine trees specifically?
Eucalyptus, it's juniper, it's everything.
Everything. I mean, I would get creative. Like, I would love, do you have a garden at all or a porch?
Just out on my balcony.
Yeah, out on your balcony. I personally would probably get, like, a little olive tree that I would decorate and just get creative and then, you know, have it sit out on my porch or, you know, eventually have it, you know, put into the ground in a, you know, someone's garden. That's personally what I would do. Or I would try to find a vintage tree, you know, that was made 10 years ago or even longer, either on eBay or at a local flea market.
Yeah, there are a lot of those that crop up in thrift stores this time of year.
And thrift stores. You know, if you really, really, really want to celebrate, you know, with a tree, you know, then you're going to go out and get a fake tree. Just, you know, maybe don't buy ones that have the lights on already that'll burn out anyway. So maybe just get a naked tree so that you can properly take care of it year after year.
An email here from Robin reminds us that Arlington has had a Christmas tree mulching program for at least a decade. The city picks up the trees with trash collection, mulches the trees, and then uses that mulch in city parks. And I know there are some cities where you don't even have to do the mulching. You just leave it out and somebody takes care of it for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. We'll go next to Risa in Dallas. Hi, Risa.
Hello. How are y'all?
Fine. Thank you.
Hi, Ms. Getty. I was wanting to ask if you knew where I could purchase some stationery or holiday cards that are already imbued with wildflower seeds that you can plant, you know, just the actual piece of stationery after the holiday.
You know, I believe I have that in my resource section. I would have to go through that. There's another great company if you wanted to do emailable cards. It's called paperlesspost.com, and they have really cute. The emails go out with real pretty stationery, and you actually click on an envelope, and it opens, and you can also do, you know, embed, you know, photos of your family, and so that's another great option. But if you do pick up the book, there's a wonderful resource section. You can also Google, you know, holiday cards, you know, seeded holiday cards, and I'm sure, you know, there'll be a lot of options that come up.
That's such a cool idea. So after the holidays are over, you just put it in the dirt, and then it sprouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a craft in the book to do place cards for dinner parties where you take seeded paper and you put it into a cork, and then all your guests can take them home and plant them.
Wonderful. Anna Getty is my guest. Her new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. We would love to hear your ideas for doing those things as well. Give us a call now at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education, announcing a new 9-month intensive CFP certificate program starting in January in Plano. You can learn more at smu.edu/plano-cfp.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is author Anna Getty. Her new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. Share your own ideas or ask a question by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. We have an email here from Alan who says, we've used the same man-made tree for the past 10 years, but 34 years ago when I was first married, my wife and I bought a potted evergreen, maybe 3 feet tall, put it on a table and decorated it. We planted it in the garden after Epiphany, and we did this for 3 years. Our landlord back there now has 3 evergreens of different types to remember us by.
That's really sweet. You know, Chris, the most important thing with a living tree is that you live in a climate where the tree can thrive, because after the tree has been in your house in the heat for a few weeks, it has about a 50-50% chance of living. So you really want to make sure that you're living in the right climate and not think, oh, well, I'm being green because we're getting a living tree. You want that tree to survive afterwards and even thrive. And I also just wanted to say, during our last break, I found a website called botanicalpaperworks.com.
Oh, great.
That has plantable Christmas holiday cards. It grows a spruce tree when planted. So that's for our last caller.
Oh, that sounds like fun. So you grow your own Christmas tree the next year.
Yeah. So it's botanicalpaperworks.com.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Wendy in Dallas with a similar idea. Hi, Wendy.
Hi there. I don't know if the lady calling asking about the seeded cards is in Dallas or the area, but there is a store in Lakewood Shopping Center called Green Living, and they carry those cards.
Oh, great.
Great.
And everything in the store is green, recycled, or recyclable. Also, I was just going to give a couple little suggestions that we've done and will be doing for Christmas. One is that we're wrapping our Christmas gifts in newspaper and recycling newspaper that way. Another thing we're going to be doing, rather than go to some of the larger merchandisers and buy new things, I've been going to a lot of estate sales and getting wonderful, wonderful used but beautiful items to give people for Christmas.
Oh, wonderful.
And then sometimes when you do that, depending on who's running the sale and who's there, you can sometimes get a little history on the item too, and that makes it a little more special.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that I like to do, and I think I'll do this year too, is make donations to causes that people are very passionate about in their name.
Wonderful. And, all great examples.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Wendy.
Yeah, this is a great show. Thank you.
Thanks. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. I love that idea of going to estate sales and different places and finding things with history, because that really says that you took the time to really think about the person you're buying for.
Yeah, it's also really fun because you spend time. I do a lot of flea market shopping, and you talk to the different vendors, and they're so lovely. They spend so much time sourcing these really special items.
I love the idea you had, by the way. You know, you can buy these commercially packaged kits for little girls to make necklaces and things like that. But you said, go and find a bunch of old necklaces and beaded things that nobody wants, buy them at flea markets and thrift stores, and then cut them up and then make your own bead kit for a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I guess your kids really get into making things with you for the holidays?
Yes. I have a 5-year-old, India, and then a 5-month-old son, so he's not there yet. But my daughter, we have so much fun. We just had her 5th birthday party on Sunday, and we decorated cookies as well as did some of the activities from the book. I have a big, huge roll of recycled paper. It's brown paper. And we use it for a lot of crafts. We use it for finger painting, and you know, we use this enormous roll throughout the year, but during the holidays we cut it up and we do block printing with sponges, with potatoes, with cabbages. I've also found at flea markets beautiful, you know, actual blocks from India that they used in block printing fabric.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, she loves that. And then we made the cardboard ornaments that are also found in the book.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Doug in Dallas. Hello, Doug.
Hi there, Chris and Anna. How you doing?
Oh, very
well,
Doug.
Thank you.
Learning
lots of good stuff here.
Great.
Your last caller, when she talked about wrapping presents in newspaper, go one better and wrap it in the Sunday comics.
Yes.
If
nice
somebody
and colorful.
Has a favorite comic strip, you can tell which present belongs to who just by what comic is on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing for that young lady that is allergic to the pine trees.
Yeah.
My mother got involved in a craft program and made herself a ceramic Christmas tree. It was about 2 feet tall and about 2 feet around the base, and then it had little holes, and you stuck little colored bits of plastic in that, and then put a 25-watt bulb in the bottom, and the light shined out through the plastic, and boom, there's your tree. And you can be creative with those because you can make it any color you want. She did white with green wreaths and trim and so on and so forth. And it was always the center of attention whenever people came over because it was a very, very unique tree. And, of course, not being organic, no sneezing.
That's a great idea. And no needles to vacuum up later
right.
either. Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Doug.
Sure enough. Bye-bye. Yeah.
You know what I was also thinking? They make those outdoor decorations. You know, they're kind of conical shaped like trees. And they do make them in LED lights. You know, bring one of those indoors. You know, not the solar-powered one, a regular one, and then hang decorations on that, too.
Yeah, and I guess it just it takes sort of thinking outside the box. So you may not be able to have the tree you grew up with, but you can have something equally pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email here from Joey in Dallas. Some ideas that the family there does to conserve at the holidays. We get live trees and plant them after the holidays. We never take shopping bags, always carry reusable bags.
Mm-hmm.
And for wrapping gifts, we recycle gift bags we've been given or reuse clean aluminum foil and newspaper. And we challenge each other and all our friends and family to only buy local and handmade presents.
These are all wonderful.
Does it take a lot of extra time to do it this way, Anna?
You know, I don't know if it takes a lot of extra time. I think it does take a little bit extra time. You know, it depends upon also where you are in the country, if you're in the city, if you're in a suburb, if you're in the countryside. What kind of lifestyle are you living? Are you a, you know, working full time? Are you a stay-at-home mom? So it really depends. I think that, you know, we've gotten as a nation so stressed out, you know, with work and the internet and the media that I think it's kind of nice to actually slow down and not get into the frenzy of the holidays. Let's take a moment to slow down and relax more, not get more stressed.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Dennis in Dallas. Hello, Dennis. Hi,
hello?
Dennis. Hi.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I also had a suggestion for the woman that is allergic to evergreens.
Okay.
I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and I have seen people take just a metal rod and some hoops and use lights to make a wonderful-looking Christmas tree.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Another thing that it looks like you do a lot of at Christmas time is cooking. Can you talk about a couple of the things that people may not have thought to try at the holidays that you have come to really love?
Well, you know, I have a German background. My mother's from Germany, and the holidays in Germany are just so magical. It's really about reconnecting to nature and, you know, lots of nuts and dried fruits. And, you know, in the book, there isn't a lot of baking in the book. I do have a very easy apple strudel in the book, as well as a maple walnut cookie. So I, you know, the goal with some of the crafts was to be able to do a few of the crafts with one item in the book. So, for example, I have the walnut ornament, and you break open the walnut very carefully, and then you take out the walnut meat, and you can, you know, incorporate it into the cookie recipe or into one of the gifts that I have in the book. And I'm a big fan of macaroni and cheese, so I did develop a goat cheese macaroni and cheese. I know goat cheese we use a lot around the holidays in my home. We incorporate it into salads and crumble it into soups. In this, I use it in the macaroni and cheese, as well as truffles, which are in season around this time. We now, out of Oregon, they're growing a lot of truffles. So you can shave truffles. It's, yes, it is a specialty item, but I think every now and again around the holidays, we are willing to spend a little extra money to incorporate those specialty items.
It's okay to indulge once a year.
Yeah.
Let's go next on the line to Ravi in Plano. Hi, Ravi.
Hey. It's on a great show, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
There was a lady up there who said like she wanted some advice on disposing batteries. I think Best Buy and most of the electronic stores, the public library, these places where you can dump all these electronic stuff, cell phones and all that.
Oh, and they'll recycle them.
Yes.
Great.
Recycle them. The one more thing I want to say is the regular bulbs that we use are being phased out to CFLs.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that we can also think about not using the regular pence AA or AAA batteries and get a lithium ion batteries in place for those? The first step is rechargeable. Next, like what we have in our cell phones, we use the battery for years together, charge it, something like that.
Yeah.
If somebody can think about it, somebody can push for it. And, of course, we all should take a vow saying that we're not going to buy batteries anymore, the regular disposable batteries. And
Christmas.
That's a great idea.
What I suggest in the book is, you know, forego buying battery-operated gifts, period, and see if you can get creative and, you know, buy other things, make other things. But, you know, protest on the battery-operated, you know, gifts.
That would certainly, no battery operated things would simplify the setup time Christmas Eve as well.
Exactly.
Let's go next at 1-800-933-5372 to Deb in McKinney. Hello, Deb.
Hi. Just love the show and wanted to say that my first Christmas, I was kind of by myself, hadn't been working for very long, so I didn't have a lot of money. But I had worked at one time doing needlework. And I had a lot of leftover yarn, and I made miniature what's called ojos de Dios. This is from Spanish, where you wrap yarn around in different colors.
Oh, like with the two sticks.
I used toothpicks, so made them small, and made ornaments that way, along with the traditional things like the popcorn strings and the paper chains.
Beautiful. Oh, that sounds great.
That was my tree, and so now every year, while my girls were small, we would make a few new ornaments, handmade. So everything on the tree is all handmade ornaments.
Oh, how wonderful. That must be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really
so
nice because now they have ornaments to take with them for their trees when they start out.
So they won't have the same problem you had.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. It's so wonderful creating traditions like that with your family. So special. And, you know, another thing about green is it's not high tech. It is about being simple and simplifying and bringing in, you know, crafts that, you know, have been around for a very long time.
I have not strung cranberries and popcorn since I was a little kid, but I was glad to read your tip that, for example, frozen cranberries, bad idea.
Yeah, they can get a little mushy.
Uh-huh. So you use dried cranberries?
Yes. Dried cranberries will actually, if you put them into a container, they'll last a couple years.
And you also have a recipe in there for salt dough ornaments. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, you know, my daughter and I love baking Christmas cookies, but the only problem with Christmas cookies, if we do them a couple times in the season, you just sit there and eat the dough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can, you know, I'm a grown-up and I can stop. My daughter will keep going no matter how many times I tell her not to eat the dough, and then she gets sick. So this is a great way to still have that tradition of, you know, cutting out the shapes and baking the cookies, but it ensures that she will not eat the dough. And these ornaments, you know, I have some of those salt dough ornaments from when I was a child. So they've been around at least 30 years.
So they definitely will last through the years.
Yes, they will last. And, you know, a friend of mine who did them with her children last weekend actually painted them. So I hadn't even thought of that.
That's a great idea. And one nibble and no child is going to take another bite.
Yes. They're very salty.
Anna Getty is my guest. Her new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes that Use Less and Mean More. You can join us by email to think@kera.org or by calling 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Fort Worth and speak with Zach. Hello, Zach.
Hi. I just you kind of just stole my thunder there for a second. But when I was little, about five, we would make homemade bread for Christmas presents, and at the same time, we would make bread dough ornaments. And as I was decorating the tree last night, the lopsided gingerbread man I made when I was four has survived for 30 years and is in pristine shape.
Huh.
So that's just one way that we always celebrated Christmas, was making our own ornaments, but making them out of bread dough.
Now, after you use the bread dough, do you actually bake it so that it's hard?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And what kind of bread do you make?
I don't remember.
So you're not doing it anymore. You should try it.
I haven't done it in a while. There's a little girl that lives across the street, and my mom still does it with her, but I was not present, so I don't know exactly. I know we used sourdough bread one year because we were making bread for Christmas presents, so we would actually make bread that people wouldn't just go out and buy for themselves.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
We painted them and then varnished them, and so they've held together. Most of them have held together really well.
Cool.
So,
Thank you so much.
They are my mom's favorite ornaments.
I bet.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks for the show.
You do mention, Anna, that, and I think a lot of us love to cook things for our neighbors and our friends. It's not a bad idea to ask ahead of time if people have particular dietary restrictions, just so you know that the food's not going to waste that you've worked on.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, in this country, 40% of our food is winding up as food waste, and only 2% of that is going into compost or biofuels. I mean, the 98% is going into landfill, and you know, everybody says, oh, well, it's going to break down eventually. Not necessarily. Food needs oxygen to break down, so it's pretty much sitting there in the landfill. So I like to think ahead, you know, find out who has allergies. You don't want to make a big roast beef or duck, and then you realize that three of your friends have just become vegetarian, you know. So, ask ahead, plan well, if you can. Try to buy locally and seasonally. That's your greenest options.
Anna Getty is with us. Her new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. You can join the conversation, share your own thoughts at 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education, announcing a new 9-month intensive CFP certificate program starting in January in Plano. You can learn more at smu.edu/plano-cfp.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with author Anna Getty, whose new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. Join us and share your ideas by calling 1-800-933-5372 or sending email to think@kera.org. A lot of people, Anna, now know that there is organic wine. You remind us that there are also organic liquors available on the market.
Yes, there are. We can get locally made, and when I say local, I mean, you know, state-made vodka. I know there's a great company out of New York, I believe. If you, Google organic vodka, most likely it'll come up. Another one of my favorites is made out of acai. It's a high in antioxidant berry from South America, I believe. And it's called Veev, V-E-E-V. And there's a great antioxidant pomegranate cocktail in my book. And, you know, a lot of the organic companies are doing biodynamic farming. They're doing carbon-free farming, you know, where they do offset programs, and they support a lot of charitable causes. So it's great to, go on Google, you know, put in organic alcohol, and just there's so many great resources now.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Alexander in Dallas. Hey, Alexander.
Hi. I just had a question. They were talking about all the food and all the waste that goes, and I work for a catering company, and we go through a lot of food, and I don't know of any any place, anything to do with it. Any homeless shelters that'll take it or anything like that. So
it gets a little bit tricky when you have a business. I know that I've worked for different catering companies with in terms of donating food, because I think there needs to be some kind of like legal component where you if you donate to a nonprofit, that they have to sign a piece of paper, a legal piece of paper saying that you're not responsible if someone were to get sick. So I know that there's that issue there, but the best thing you can do is, you know, call around and ask, because I know in Los Angeles where I live, there are certainly restaurants that do donate to various organizations, and they come by and pick it up.
And surely if you were to contact a food bank, at least they could tell you what the situation is locally and who might be able to use it. Can you talk for a minute about, you have an interesting idea for wrapping gifts in T-shirts.
Yeah, you know, I talked to this woman. She runs a company called EcoPerks. Her partner suggested that you sew up, the whole of the neck of the T-shirt, and then you sew up the sleeves, and you create kind of this little gift sack. And then you put your, a larger item like a teddy bear in there, or, if you're getting pots and pans or whatever, you can put them in there, stack them in there, and then you tie a ribbon around. And you can also do the opposite, where you just sew the bottom of the shirt and have it be a gift bag, and then afterwards someone can use it as a baggie.
Oh, sure.
To take to the market.
Yeah. Let's go next to Joe in Fort Worth. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Similar to what you just talked about with the T-shirt, our family uses scraps from sewing and makes bags out of the scraps, and then we recycle the bags each year. So you give it away one year, and then we'll get it back the next year. And you can also sew the ends of worn-out blue jeans and use the blue jeans as a bag.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I use clothing for so much. I actually was in the supermarket the other day, and the man next to me had sewn up a sweatshirt, and he had created this really cool bag. It was like this big bag that was hanging from his neck.
And you have a cool idea for taking old, like, sweaters with holes in them that even clothing recyclers and vintage stores couldn't use, and making a wreath out of them.
Yeah. You cut up the sweaters. I actually found some at thrift stores that were very, I think they were like a dollar each. And I just cut them up into little squares, or about an inch and a half to 2 inches by 2 inches. And, you know, people say, oh, my gosh, you have to cut up hundreds and hundreds of squares. But if you're sitting there and you're watching a great show and you're doing this, it goes by very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you loop them onto a wire coat hanger. You actually can press the end of the coat hanger through the fabric very easily, and you make a circle, and then bend the end of the hangers and create a hook, and cut another longer piece of the sweater and make a ribbon and hook it on the hook, and there's your wreath that you have for a very, very long time. Of course, you also want to make sure that you store it properly so moths don't get to it.
Yeah, and then suddenly your wreath is full of holes.
Yes.
It strikes me, though, maybe not for your 5-year-old, but it's a great thing to enlist older kids to be sitting there cutting up fabric with you.
Yeah, exactly.
We have an email here from Marcia who says, last year I gave a book about green going with everything, and I also give non-toxic health and beauty and safe green cleaners. This year I purchased foaming bottles that put super concentrated organic body wash inside. You add the water, and then the foaming bottle makes it last much longer.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Let's go next on the line at 800-933-5372 to Jeannie in McKinney. Hello, Jeannie.
Hi there. Yes, I had a comment about making beads with children for necklaces and things.
Mm-hmm.
You may have already mentioned it, but you can take magazines and just cut triangular shapes of all sizes and roll it on the pencil and then put white glue on it, and they make beautiful beads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I haven't done that since I was a kid. Thank you.
And the other thing I was going to mention is you can make eggshell Christmas tree ornaments. You might have mentioned that one, too, but You can paint them. You can put beads on them. You can just color them, whatever. And the kids love to do that.
As a matter of fact, that is one of the crafts in the book.
Do you have a good strategy for blowing the egg out of the shell?
Well, you know, it's just that old traditional way of poking holes on each side and just slowly blowing them out.
And I'm guessing you try to use the eggs for something.
I do. I usually scramble them up, but you can incorporate them into, you know, one of the recipes in the book, most likely the cookie recipe.
Mm-hmm. We have an email here from Aaron who says, another great way to give green gifts is by utilizing local online communities like Craigslist and FreeCycle. FreeCycle allows members to post offers and wanted ads for goods and allows members to find objects or prevent unused items from heading to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she says she's seen several fake trees offered over the last month on FreeCycle, so it might be worth trying that if
Absolutely.
You're trying to find one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What you also have some interesting ideas for storing things. You know, you can go the day after Christmas to Target or Walmart or wherever, and there's 1,000 plastic containers being marketed to put all those Christmas ornaments away, but you don't necessarily have to go out and buy anything.
No, I mean, you know, when you're unwrapping all the gift boxes and set them aside, you know, save them. I love reusing my egg cartons. I always keep my egg cartons because I know that I'll either be donating them to my school. My daughter's class likes to use them for crafts. But they make a great way to store ornaments. They protect them. And, you know, just label each box that you save. You know, one can be for your ribbon. One can be for your tissue paper. The more organized you are, the easier it is. You know, if you just have, you know, bags and bags and bags of paper that you've crumpled up, you're most likely going to throw it into the recycling bin or even into the garbage. So find a good systemized way. Save your boxes. Save all of the, you know, the materials. Make sure that your children and people around you are carefully. It's fun, of course, to tear into presents, but it's also great to carefully remove them, you know, put some thought into it so that you really can resave the wrapping paper. And, you know, it took a couple years for my daughter to get to understand that, but now she really gets it because she knows that we save.
Mm-hmm. It must be fun if she knows that you're going to do something fun with the paper at some later date, too.
Yeah, and she also asked me, is this going to go on someone else's present? And I said, yeah, most likely it will, eventually.
You know, I'm thinking about kids, a lot of times the big gift for teachers now is you get them a gift card for somewhere, which seems like a good idea because you don't have to return anything and they get what they want. I was really surprised to think about the fact that, you know, those little gift cards are going to live in a landfill for centuries after we're done with Christmas this year.
Yeah, that is the issue of gift cards. I'm not quite sure why so many businesses use them now, but yeah, I mean, I think for the most part they're recyclable, so make sure, you know, if you receive them that you're recycling them. Or find another creative way to use them. But if you can, you know, find a way to give gifts that are certificates that aren't those cards, you know, maybe go to the smaller businesses that are, you know, offering, you know, then again, then they're handing out paper gift certificates. So there's not really a win-win situation there.
One thing that, you know, we can do the best that we can on our end, and then Grandma sends a big box full of those godforsaken packing peanuts. What do we do with those?
You know, I return mine to the box store. They will reuse them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really happy to hear that more and more companies are using biodegradable packing, you know, pieces and little pieces of recycled box. So you can also, if you know you're going to be shipping throughout the year, save them. Again, set them aside, put them, you know, in a bag. But if you want to get them out of your house, don't just dump them into the recycling container, especially because they, you know, when they're dumped into the garbage trucks, usually they wind up flying all over the place.
Because they weigh nothing and stick to things.
Exactly. And, you know. So take them to a local box store. They will be so appreciative to have them because they sell those things.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Next on the line is Betsy in Grapevine. Hey, Betsy.
Hi, I have a really nice idea for making a wreath that looks just like a bay leaf wreath.
Ooh.
You take a clothes hanger, you make it into the round shape, and then you take any kind of brown paper. It can be a brown paper bag or whatever, and then you cut that in shapes of leaves, like a bay leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then you glue that on to the newspaper, and if you want, when you got it where it is, you can either spray it green for bay leaf, or you can spray it gold, which is really beautiful, too.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the most important with paint is that you're buying non-toxic paint. So,
are those easy to find now in craft stores, easier than they
yes.
were?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
You have a great idea in here for leaf ornaments that you paint with gold or silver. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Well, I love going out to nature and picking up things like leaves and pine cones. You know, I know throughout the country when the leaves fall, it looks so beautiful, and the leaves are all over the ground. You know, go take a basket, a bag, and just fill them up with leaves that you can, you know, a month or two later turn into ornaments, or you can, I have a nice craft where you can create these really pretty kind of garlands that you can hang in your windows. And you paint them with non-toxic gold and silver paint. You let them dry, and then you string them up in any way that you would like to decorate your house.
I'm also really tempted to try your glittered fruits, because if you use hard skin fruits, you can actually decorate them with glitter and still eat the fruit.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the goal of that craft.
How do we make those?
Well, you take things. I know that persimmons are in season, but pomegranates are in season. That's a harder skin, and then mandarins and clementines and all those. And you roll them in egg whites and then into sugar, and you do it a couple times so you get a nice coating that's real glittery. And you can do the same thing with glitter as well.
And I guess you just have to be careful that they're all the way dry before you tramp them over the house with the sugar
yes.
everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much with any craft. You're going to want to make sure the glue is dry. You want to make sure, you know, the egg whites are dry. You want to make sure that paint is dry.
And can you just talk a little bit about what your favorite personal tradition is with your family and what makes it special for you?
Well, you know, again, it's all about, for me, it's nature. So I love, you know, I'm going to Germany on Sunday to see my mom in Germany, and we will, you know, in any given day, we'll take a walk, you know, through the park, and then we'll go sit and have tea and, you know, eat Stollen cake, which is the German Christmas cake, and then we'll go home and we'll, you know, do a craft together and sit and talk and then maybe watch a DVD, and, you know, the next day we'll go to a Christmas fair or a flea market and, you know, take another walk in Munich. There's a big park, and sometimes we'll take a drive an hour away to Austria and take a nice long hike through the snow. So I really love that communion with nature. And even if you live in a city, you know, go sit in a park, even a place like New York City. And I imagine that Dallas and cities all over Texas have lovely parks. I know that in certain areas of the state, it's very green and
those
lush.
Those are great ideas. Anna Getty's new book is called I'm Dreaming of a Green Christmas, Gifts, Decorations, and Recipes That Use Less and Mean More. Anna, thank you so much for spending the hour with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
The Think production team includes associate producer Betsy Lewis and engineer Nilofer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.